Please take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Let us stand together as we give honor to the reading of God's word. Remember, God's word is holy, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, Father, that you would remove all distractions. Remove the dullness of our minds, and enable us to stay alert as we hear your precious word. Lord, feed our minds with your word. Lord, make us understand the way of your precepts, your commandments, your word. So shall we meditate on your wonderful works. Speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is pivotal. It's pivotal for the existence of Christianity. No empty tomb, then no resurrection of Jesus. That means no resurrection of Jesus, no Christianity. So empty tomb is necessary. The resurrection of Jesus is very vital to all of us as Christians. The empty tomb, that is what we are going to examine in this particular passage. Well, today it is not Easter Sunday, but every Sunday we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it is still very appropriate to examine this text. And moreover, we are into consecutive expository preaching, meaning preaching is done through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And today we are in chapter 20. In the previous passage, we examined the burial of the body of Jesus. We all know that Christ was crucified on the cross, and he died on the cross. And the following day was the Sabbath day, meaning that no one should work or do anything. Therefore, Joseph of Arimathea asked permission from Pilate to take the body of Jesus from the cross so that he can bury it in his new tomb. Nicodemus brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes and bound the body in linen with spices. Both Joseph and Nicodemus laid the body of Jesus in the new tomb, which belonged to Joseph. And they did all these things in haste because that day was the Jewish preparation day. And they had to do it quickly before the Sabbath day. And they did it. Now we come to John chapter 20, and we are going to look at this passage under two headings. Number one, witnesses of empty tomb, verses 1 through 7. Witnesses of empty tomb. Second, resurrection of Jesus, verses 8 to 10. Resurrection of Jesus. Witnesses of empty tomb, resurrection of Jesus. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, witnesses of empty tomb. Look at verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. From this verse, it seems that Mary Magdalene was the first witness. And who is this Mary Magdalene? According to Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it is this woman, in this woman that Jesus drove out seven demons. And it is this Mary Magdalene who was present with other women at the foot of the cross of Jesus, according to Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Mary Magdalene was present at the tomb when the dead body of Jesus was laid down by Nicodemus and Joseph. And in verse 1 we read, early in the morning, while it was dark, Mary visits the tomb with other ladies. They went with spices. Why? Because on the preparation day, Jewish preparation day, Jesus' body was laid in a hasty manner. So Mary and the other ladies were not sure whether Jesus was bounded with enough, sufficient spices, myrrh and aloes. Here we are not reported concerning the other ladies who were with Mary Magdalene. The Apostle John focuses upon this particular lady, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, early in the morning, visited the tomb. To her surprise, she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. How could that be possible? In other words, the body of Christ was missing. The body of Christ was missing. Mary's immediate response, what was that? Look at verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." It's very clear. She went to meet Simon Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, and also the disciple whom Jesus loved. Of course, it is referring to the Apostle John. So Mary Magdalene went to Simon Peter and the Apostle John. And she told them that the body of Christ was missing. To be specific, this is what she said to them. "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Notice how she addresses Jesus, the Lord, the Lord. Because Jesus delivered her from the seven demons. And who can do that? Except the Lord. And she addresses Jesus as the Lord. And she is his servant. And then we read that she said in this way, "And we do not know where they have laid him." Why is the pronoun "we" plural? That's why we must go to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Because Mary Magdalene was present with Mary, the mother of James and Salome. So they brought spices to anoint Christ's body. And that's why she said, "We do not know where they have laid him." But what we need to focus is this. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. Someone might have taken or stolen the body of Jesus. That's an implication. But what can we deduce from this statement, from her statement? What can we deduce? It is clear that Mary's statement only indicates that she had no clue or thoughts about the resurrection of Jesus. That means she had no thought about the divine intervention that had taken place. She had no thought of a supernatural work that had taken place. And that's why she said this. "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb." Probably she's thinking about some grave robbers. And Peter and John, after hearing from Mary, they went to the tomb. Look at verse 3. "Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple," referring to John, "and were going to the tomb." And who reached the tomb first? Look at verse 4. "So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first." Because they were shocked to hear that that stone had been taken away from the tomb, that the body of Jesus was missing. So they ran to verify her statement. And then in verse 5, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in." Speaking about John, John reached the tomb first. He stooped down, looked into the tomb. What he saw was the linen clothes. And then Peter went into the tomb. Both of them saw. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. So, they saw the linen cloths, they saw the handkerchief, meaning the face cloth, and they were all intact in the tomb. We need to pay attention to the words here. We need to pay attention to what John is saying here. Remember, Simon Peter and John are key witnesses, together with Mary Magdalene. But these two guys, they saw the linen cloths and the handkerchief laid there intact. So the witnesses saw the empty tomb. Should not the empty tomb indicate that Jesus had been resurrected? So we come to the second heading, resurrection of Jesus. John is telling us there were three people in the tomb. Did all the three people believe what they saw? Did they believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, according to this account, we can deduce at least one person believed. Verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Remember, this witness is actually the author of the Gospel of John. The witness himself is writing this account. He is testifying what he saw and confesses his faith. Peter, after hearing Mary, started to run towards the tomb, and we are told the other disciple, John, outran Peter, and he came to the tomb first and went into the tomb. And listen very carefully to his testimony. He, referring to John, saw and believed. And what did he see? What did John see? He saw the empty tomb. Talking about resurrection, this is not the first resurrection of body that we read in the Bible. Remember the resurrection of Lazarus. Christ raised Lazarus from his death, that we can read in John chapter 11. And how was the resurrection of Jesus different from the resurrection of Lazarus? How is it different? So we need to go back to John chapter 11 and read the account very carefully. Lazarus was raised from the dead to die again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died. Ultimately, he died. Not Christ. Christ was raised to live for eternity. And if you remember the account, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? Lazarus came out with his hand and foot bound with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. In other words, as he was raised from the dead, he was still bounded with the linens. So it is different with Jesus. The grave clothes, including the face cloth, were found in the tomb in an orderly manner. That's what we need to focus. What can we deduce? Jesus was resurrected. He was not raised in a manner that he had to unwrap himself. No. His resurrection is supernatural. The linen cloth and the face cloth laid in the tomb. He rose and he left the tomb. So this is the evidence of resurrection of Jesus found in John chapter 20. And the eyewitness John himself is telling us. The cloth linens were intact, not in a disorder manner. That's why it's very important to read the verses very carefully. The linen cloths were there, but not the body of Jesus. It was an empty tomb. So clearly no grave robbers came there. If they had come to steal the body of Jesus, then the linen cloths, the face cloth, all should be laid in a very disorderly manner. So that we can rule out. And there could be no fabrication of this story. There could be no myths or legends. What we are reading is a true historical event that proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is so vital for Christians. So John testified, "I saw and I believed." You people were not there. You did not see the empty tomb. But do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Just based on the scriptures. And you must, because it is not merely man's word. It's God's word. So John reveals something about Peter and John concerning the resurrection of Jesus. Pay attention very carefully to what John is saying. John, the Apostle John, is pointing out the ignorance of Christ's resurrection. They were ignorant. Look at verse 9. In verse 8, John the Apostle stated that he saw and believed. And look at verse 9. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. John asserts that Peter and John were ignorant of Christ's resurrection. They did not know that Christ's resurrection was written in the scripture. Just imagine, Peter and John were disciples of Jesus Christ for 3 years. And they did not know it is written in the Bible. We must know, because we have many references, at least two of them. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." That's the hope he had. As he was going through the suffering, Job had this hope. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." In other words, he knew that Christ lives, Jesus lives, and he shall stand at last, that he would be raised, he would be resurrected. And that's the prophecy found in the book of Job. And the second reference is found in Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Of course, the author is writing about Jesus Christ. And this is the prophecy about Jesus, that God will not leave the soul of Jesus in Sheol. Nor will God allow the Holy One, referring to Christ, to see corruption. In other words, Christ will not be allowed to decompose or decay. God will not allow the body of Jesus to decompose or decay. That's the prophecy here in Psalm 16, verse 10. And that's what we are seeing in this passage. Christ's body did not decay or decompose. Two references, and both were in the Old Testament. And the two witnesses, Simon Peter and John, should have read the scriptures and should have known about this resurrection. Yet, they did not know. And moreover, during the 3 years, as they were with Christ, Christ at least mentioned 3 times. He predicted about his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection. And you will find at least 3 accounts in the Gospel of Mark. Might be more, we do not know, but we at least know there are 3 places where Christ clearly told the disciples about his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection. But they didn't know. See, John is making an honest declaration here that he and Peter did not know that the resurrection of Jesus is predicted in the scriptures. And this is absolutely true, for this is what we find out in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, met his disciples along the road to Emmaus. Do you remember? And Jesus explained the scriptures to his disciples. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 22 through 27. I'm going to read it quickly. Luke chapter 24, verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, referring to Jesus, Jesus, said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Referring to his resurrection and ascension. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yet, the disciples of Jesus did not understand and believe that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah who would come as a substitutionary atonement for sinners. The 3 years they were with Jesus, but yet they did not understand all these things until after his resurrection, that everything made sense to his disciples, to the disciples of Jesus, including the Apostle John and Peter. John and Peter can plead ignorance of the resurrection of Jesus because they did not know that it was predicted in the scriptures. But what about you? What about you? Do you plead ignorance? God has given us the Bible and it has all the truths we need to know. We have no excuse to say that we do not know about the resurrection of Jesus. The doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus is very clear in the Bible. And it is our duty to read it, believe it, and live it out. And we come to verse 10. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Not sure. They went home satisfied based on what they saw. It makes me think that they were convinced that the body of Jesus was not stolen by grave robbers or removed by anyone else. Why? Otherwise, they would have made a search for the missing body. They did not make a search for the missing body. We are told that the disciples went away again to their own homes. For us today, we do not need sight. In the case of Peter and John, we have the scriptures. The scriptures is authoritative. We find all the references of the resurrection of Jesus. So we must believe God's word. We must believe that this is God's word. And we must believe the resurrection of Jesus. So in this passage, we saw two headings. Witnesses of empty tomb, resurrection of Jesus. Three things I'd like to speak to you before we leave this passage. Number one, faith. John and Peter believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Let us look at John first. John is an eyewitness and he believed in the resurrection of Jesus. And therefore he wrote the Gospel of John. And he also wrote the epistles of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. If Jesus was not raised, do you think John would have written all these letters? No. So truly, Christ was raised. And that's why he wrote this for us to believe in Christ. What about Peter, the Apostle Peter? He wrote the epistles of Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And remember, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, he preached. What did he preach? The resurrection of Jesus. And what happened? 3,000 souls were saved. So Peter saw, perhaps he believed later, and that's why we have the works of the Apostle Peter. They are living witnesses. Sorry, they were living witnesses then. And now, they are living witnesses still today because of their writings that we have in the Bible. What about you? You also must live out your faith in Jesus. Tell the wonder of the empty tomb to others who do not know Jesus. What did Peter preach? The resurrection of Jesus. By hearing that, 3,000 souls were saved. It is this gospel that we must proclaim. The wonder of the resurrection of Jesus. And when the people hear this, these people who have been already chosen before the foundation of the world will respond to this gospel. And therefore, we must share our faith in Jesus to others, and we must share the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus to others. Number two, empty tomb. The criticality of the resurrection of Jesus is the empty tomb. And Paul states it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a beautiful chapter to read about resurrection, and you should. There, it is written, if Christ was not raised, then you are still in sins. That's what the Apostle Peter Paul says. If Christ was not raised, then you are still in sins. To be accurate, let me quote the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ was not raised, then Jesus is not a savior for us. Then we cannot be saved from our sins. That means no salvation for us. We would continue to remain slave to sin. And there will be no remedy for the universal sin. Remember the universal sin? Adam's sin? How it entered into this world? How Adam's sin devastated the human beings and the world. And what is the remedy if Christ had not risen? Now, because Christ is risen, we have hope for our salvation. We no longer need to live in our sins. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Third, hope of our own future resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Pay attention very clearly. Pay attention to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Let us flip the sentence structure in this way. If Christ has not risen, then the dead will not rise. If Christ has not risen, then the dead will not rise. That means there is no way for the body and soul to be united. That means there is no such thing as future resurrection. But one day, we will all rise because Christ has risen. All because of the empty tomb which Mary Magdalene, Apostle Peter, and Apostle John witnessed. We have the three witnesses laid out for us here. Because of the empty tomb. And Christ's resurrection is the first fruit of all resurrections. So our bodies will be united with our souls, and we will all dwell with Christ forever. So do you believe in the risen Christ? In the world, there are many people following Muhammad, Buddha, Guru Nanak, Sai Baba, etc., etc. And we know that all these religious leaders are still under the ground. What hope can they give to people if they are under the ground? But yet, people are following these religious leaders blindly. Only Jesus, the risen Christ, the living Christ, can give us hope in this life, in life after. So believe in Him, and you will be saved. And praise God for the empty tomb. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful text which teaches us about the resurrection of Jesus. For this is a vital doctrine for all of us, Lord. And this is the gospel. Help us to be gripped by this truth concerning the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus. And may we be convinced and convicted of this truth. And may we be bold enough to speak of this truth to others, that others might come to faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.